Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We talk with our friends at American Heritage Girls pretty frequently. We try to talk a couple of times each year to hear what's going on with American Heritage Girls. And not too long ago, recent news here in St. Louis from the Archdiocese of St. Louis and their recommendation to consider other scouting options for girls. And we're going to talk about what American Heritage Girls has to offer in the way of scouting for girls, for young women. So I hope you can stick around to talk with our friend Patty Garibay, the Executive Director of American Heritage Girls. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. Look for them in the sponsor section. You can find more information there. Well, joining us now by phone, Patty Garibay. She's the Executive Director of American Heritage Girls. Welcome back to Faith and Family, Patty.
Thank you, Andy. It's good to be with you.
Always great to talk with you and learn more about what's going on with American Heritage Girls. How are things? Are you in D.C. today?
No, actually, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is fine.
Cincinnati, okay.
Good thing, right?
But
the weather's great. Sounds like it's the same as in your town, so that's a good thing.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I am always grateful for the opportunity to talk with you about American Heritage Girls and what's going on, what's new. And I'm sure that you heard about the recent announcement from the Archdiocese of St. Louis about their recommendation to consider to their parishes to consider other options for scouting for girls that Girl Scouts is no longer recommended by the diocese. Tell us, you had the foresight about this very issue years ago with other parents. What was this, about 20 years ago or so?
Yes, we are celebrating our 20th anniversary. Exactly. It was 20 years when American Heritage Girls was started. But really, the journey of discovery about what the Girl Scouts really was standing for at the time began in 1993 for me. And that was when the Girl Scouts brought to their national convention a proposal to change the Girl Scout promise. And, of course, the Girl Scout promise had been created since 1912. The Girl Scouts recently celebrated yet another birthday on March 12th, where Juliet Gordon Lowe had created that promise. And it was a promise to love God. And now, in 1993, the proposal was to allow for what they would call flexibility and spiritual wording for the word God. And that not only allowed people to replace the word God with Allah or whomever, even a tree, honestly, but also allowed for atheists to be part of the Girl Scouts. And boy, that just was a moral dilemma for me as a Christian woman who was using the Girl Scout program as a way to just touch girls' lives, to help them to understand their identity in Christ, and to really use the Girl Scout methods to reach girls for Christ. It suddenly became, I can't do this anymore. The underpinnings had changed tremendously, I believe, with the change to the promise. I felt the philosophical foundation now was different than what Juliet Gordon Lowe had intended.
So once that foundation had changed, what does that then mean for everything else about the scouting experience? Once that language has changed in terms of how we regard God and who God is, once that language changes, how does that change everything else? Does it change everything else about scouting?
I believe it does. Our scouting in general is all about character development. And if you are not using a timeless platform, such as the Bible, in my opinion, how can you really develop character? How do you answer those hard questions that the girls and quite frankly, the boys will inevitably ask you when you are not really permitted to use the Bible as a foundation in secular character development programs? So for me, it would be probably the cultural winds of today, you know, sticking your finger in the air and saying, well, how does the culture feel about this issue today? For me and for other Christian parents, I believe the Lord has called us to use his word as the directional for how we answer those questions, how we behave ourselves, and how we learn to love Christ. So from even 22 years ago, it became apparent that when you change a foundational principle, there's going to be all kinds of fruits from that decision, most of them not great. And we've seen that today in the curricula of the Scout of Girl Scouting today, filled with moral relativism, filled with secularism. And frankly, it wasn't for me and my family. And so we started something different for our daughter. It was our third daughter. She was in fourth grade. The other two had gone through the Girl Scout program, and we were able to really use it in a very wonderful way. But this change meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to my walk with Christ. And I felt like I had to obey his calling to do something different for that daughter. I never knew, Andy, that God would have such a big plan, that this organization would someday affect hundreds of thousands of families and bless girls all over the country and even internationally. That's not my story. That's God's story, and I'm happy to be part of it.
Hmm. When you say, when you talk about character development and having that that source for that, for character development, for you that was the Bible, the Scriptures. What would you say for, you know, other scouting organizations has that been, or for Girl Scouts at the time, you know, that before the change in the language, would you say the foundation for character development was the Scripture, or was the Bible God's Word?
Well, it certainly seemed to be that way. Mm-hmm. Most of the volunteers in my area at the time felt that this was the Girl Scouts were based on Judeo-Christian values. You would see your Girl Scout troops in local churches meeting there, and so you'd have that perception, right, mm-hmm. that this must be something that the church agrees with. And it has gone on for a very long time. For St. Louis Archdiocese, their relationship with the Girl Scouts was over a century old. And so this decision by the Archbishop did not come lightly. It did not come frivolously. It came with great studies, great discernment, and quite frankly, great strength of spirit to make a decision like this. It's difficult, it's painful, but you know, who do we serve? And that's who we are ultimately accountable for, and what is right with the Lord. And I believe the Archbishop felt that cutting those ties was what was right with the Lord.
When the decision came out recently from the St. Louis Archdiocese, was this, do you think this was something that was, you know, had been kind of, I guess, cooking for a while, something that, you know, had been, they'd been giving much thought to over time, and then finally this was just a decision that had to be made in order to remain faithful in their, you know, their character development programs?
Absolutely. I believe they keep, you know, as we all do, Andy, we see all of these, I believe, bastions of Americana that were always upheld as onerous, things we wanted our children involved with. And then suddenly you realize, can we really trust any of them? And you got to really look, because agendas change, administrators change, and if you don't protect the mission, the mission creep happens, and things may go very differently. For instance, Girl Scouting was part of my life as a young girl. My mom was my leader. And then when I couldn't wait to do that myself, I had to relook at this and be very honest and say, this isn't my mother's Girl Scouts. It's very different. And is that something that God is calling me for my family? And so I do believe the Archbishop had that same kind. It wasn't just he alone. I believe he had many people looking at this, including his lay people, coming to him. And I know it was over many years. The diocese had contacted American Heritage Girls several times during their study process. I know they talked with the Girl Scouts on many occasions. This was not made in a void. And I know it's cool for the media to pick it up and make it what it isn't. Mm-hmm. But that's Archbishop. He loves girls, and he cares about girls, and he cares about their souls. And so for all the media that's saying he doesn't like women, he's just being patriarchal, absolutely disagree, 100%. He cares so much about women's faith formation that he took this strong stance. And I say kudos to the Archbishop caring about girls.
If he didn't care about girls, then he wouldn't have acted in any way.
Absolutely. He would let it go status quo.
Hmm. how can American Heritage Girls be a great partner for congregations? I know we've been talking about the St. Louis Archdiocese, you know, Roman Catholic Church, but there are churches of many denominations that have partnered with American Heritage Girls. How is American Heritage Girls a reasonable option for, especially for congregations who want a scouting program for girls in their congregation and in their community?
You know, I think Reverend Bart Day of the LCMS Office of National Mission, he said it so well in the Memorandum of Understanding, Andy. I'd love to quote him because he says it so very well. AHG is a wonderful organization that allows a local congregation to run the program and have oversight of all spiritual care for the troop, shaping young women to be faithful Christians and strong citizens who care for the world and their neighbor are among the many laudable core tenets of American Heritage Girls. So we want to strengthen our congregation's participation with AHG and encourage others who might be interested in scouting for their girls. American Heritage Girls, now this is myself talking, comes alongside the church. And it's just another arrow in the quiver for girls to undergird their faith, to armor themselves in the cultural battle of today, to understand their faith, to own their faith, not have their faith be their parents' faith only, but their faith now, because that's what's going to matter when they go off to college or when they go off into the career world and they realize, whoa, I don't understand this God thing at all. But what our prayer is that AHG can be part of that undergirding that the church shares so beautifully on Sundays and throughout the week, and that AHG with the Christ-centered mentors just really make this a very relevant thing, because our faith is not for Sunday only.
In what ways might American Heritage Girls be a means by which a congregation can reach out into the community and to serve families and girls in the community, not just members of their congregation, but how can American Heritage Girls be a means for a congregation to serve a community?
Oh, I love that question. That is where my heartbeat is, because AHG is a wonderful program that can reach out to girls that even may never have gone to the church. They've never entered the sanctuary of the church at all, but rather their friends are having exciting activities with great peers that are like-minded, and these kiddos come in and they realize, I'm loved here. People care about me here. And that's a way for them to be part of the community. But even moreover, serving the community, AHG's tagline is faith, service, and fun. Each year, over 500,000 hours are given to the community by girls. Girls are making a difference. I love that. You know, it's not just girlhood is just for fun and games, but no, the girls are making a difference. And while they make a difference, they not only receive great joy, because that's the way the Lord's wired us, is by giving we experience joy, but also they start to learn about their passions and also their vocations. Where is God calling them? What might be their future? And looking for God's leading in that, rather than what does my mom say I'm good at or what does my teacher say I'm good at? What does God want me to do? And they're seeing this through service. And it's been a blessing to see the fruits of the graduates of American Heritage Girls and what they choose to do in their vocations and occupations in the future. It's a blessing to see how many want to serve others. So it is an asset to the community. It's an asset to the church, and it's an asset to families.
One key part of the character development in scouting organizations is learning specific skills or achievements, or and some of those are you know, marked by patches or other ways. Are there specific skills or sets of achievements in American Heritage Girls that set it apart from other scouting organizations that you wouldn't find perhaps in other scouting organizations?
There are. There really, truly are. For instance, American Heritage Girls do have badges. Absolutely. We have over 243 badges. They're always being developed. And what's really cool is many of the concepts for the badges come from the girls themselves and from family members that say we'd really like the girls to learn more about that. And so we have new badges out now called our Constitution, for example, for the girls to learn about what does the Constitution say and what does it mean, and something that's not often being taught today in civics classes. But also the best me I can be. And that talks about having a strong spiritual life, having a strong care about your hygiene and your appearance, and just being a good steward of your assets, the things that the Lord has blessed you with as far as talents and so forth. There's also Daughter of the King, which teaches the girls about their special, unique role in God's plan for humanity, if they do have a role. So there are so many badges, but also there's girl leadership at every level. We believe in American Heritage Girls that everyone is a leader, because leaders to us are defined as influencers, people that influence one another, and we all do, good or bad. And we want our girls to be influencers for the best, so that people can see Christ in them. So girl leadership is important. And matter of fact, the older the girl becomes, the more opportunities that avail themselves. And these girls are becoming leaders, not just of their troop meetings, but leaders of community projects, of mission trips. They are just the ones that are rising to the top to say, let's go and let's let God show us what we need to do to help this particular situation, whatever it might be. Life skill enhancement, I already mentioned through the multi-level badge program, but social development is very important too, and the girls do love to have fun. And so at their troop meetings, they learn to relate to one another socially, but also through their fun multi-troop events and their camping. Camping is really important to American Heritage Girls and learning outdoor skills, because that really helps develop a team. And as we all know, teamwork is very critical in anything that we do. And especially as we mature, teamwork becomes more and more important. And it builds confidence when a girl can know that I can survive in the wilderness. I can make a fire. I can cook outdoors. I can sleep in a tent or even without a tent. And I'm able to do that not because of girl power, but because of Christ's power within me. And we tie all that together with a camping experience. And then, of course, the spiritual development, which hinges everything together. In American Heritage Girls, the girls learn about their faith, whether it be the Lutheran faith, the Catholic faith, the evangelical faith. They learn about their family's faith and what that means, and what that means to her as a Christian. And in order to receive their highest level, the Stars and Stripes Award, which is like an Eagle Award, girls must earn their family's faith tradition badge, the religious recognition. And so that's very unique. There's no other scouting organization that requires that. And this whole undergirding of a biblical, scriptural lens through which everything is placed, it makes us unique in that fashion.
Hmm. One of the issues I think that is really significant for us, for LCMS Lutherans, and I know for Roman Catholics as well, is the sanctity of human life. And we don't always hear about that in other scouting organizations. How is the respect for human life, does that have a place in American Heritage Girls?
You know, it really does. It's been an interesting journey on that issue. Handling it carefully. American Heritage Girls, of course, is pro-life because we do stand for scriptural tenets. But, you know, sometimes people say, oh, how can you teach about that at a young age? Well, respecting life needs to start at a young age. If we wait until girls or teenagers to talk about this issue, that very question may already have confronted them. And again, like I said, when you have a character development program based on nothing, not based on a scriptural tenet, those issues become, well, it depends on how you feel.
Sure.
But for American Heritage Girls, pro-life and respecting life from conception to natural death, I believe is critical. It is a God issue, not a social issue, not a political issue. It's a God issue. And so, of course, we do address it, and the girls are able to manifest their belief in life in many ways.
How do you find a troop in your community? How do you get connected, or how do you get one started if there isn't one in your community?
That's a great question, and it is something that everyone is able to start an American Heritage Girl Troop and to really impact their communities, leaving a legacy of Christ's love in that community. And that's done by, you know, learning more about American Heritage Girls. I think the best way is visiting our website, which is AmericanHeritageGirls.org or .com or .net, whatever is easy for you, and learning more about our on our website. You'll see right on the front how to start a troop. There are such a great need for new troops. There are waiting lists all over the country of girls wanting this, families wanting this. We need churches to step forward and say, we want this to be part of our girl programming. And the American Heritage Girls serves girls all the way from 5 to 18, so it can be part of the children's program and part of the youth programming. And what that does then is to create an entire family ministry where families can come together, and they might have multiple daughters. They all are in one troop, and that's the beauty of this. So this isn't just a fourth grade troop or a second grade troop. This is a first through 12th grade troop, and what happens then is mentoring occurs, et cetera. So check us out at AmericanHeritageGirls.org or give us a call at 513-771-2025. You can also check out if there's a troop in your area by using our troop locator, which is right on top of the search bar, typing in your zip code, and you'll find out what troops are in your area.
What does American Heritage Girls have coming up? Well, let's before we talk about what's coming up, what's been happening in the last few months? What's been going on with American Heritage Girls across the country?
Well, it's been exciting to see continued growth. Oh, my, how the Lord has blessed American Heritage Girls by people learning about it, and usually through radio, like this show, where families are very excited to find something that makes an eternal difference for their daughters. It's not just an extracurricular. It's actually a life-changing program that continues with them throughout their lives as seeds are planted. But also American Heritage Girls is still celebrating our 20th anniversary all the way through May, which is our program year where we end. And this week is very special as Holy Week is here. And the girls are really pondering and being reflective during this time and readying for the celebration. So I'm seeing lots of girls helping their charter partners perhaps do egg hunts and celebrate Easter in a way, reaching out to the community, seeing how they can help the parish or their church partner with community to raise awareness and to let them know about God's love. So I'm seeing a lot of that happening. Also, I'm seeing a lot of camping happening. It's springtime, and the girls love to be out in the outdoors. And so lots of rainy campouts will happen in April. We're seeing that come along. And then there's lots of preparation for summer camping. So these are the trends that we're seeing. We're seeing the girls serving, we're seeing them camping, we're seeing them growing. And then at the end of the year, there are Court of Awards where the girls are rewarded for their hard work. And we're seeing what's called Boards of Review, Andy, where the girls actually share with adults what they've learned through the program this year. So there's a time of reflection, a time of service, a time of celebration, and a time of getting ready for the next year. So there's an exciting end of year for American Heritage Girls, and what a blessing to celebrate 20 years of God's faithfulness through this ministry.
Well, thanks be to God for that. Now, during the summer, you mentioned some summer camping. Are there extended opportunities during the summer for do some of the troops come together for larger events during the summer?
Absolutely. These camps aren't just for troops typically. These summer camps are week-long events, overnight camps, where multiple troops come together. And when you can learn more about those by emailing American Heritage Girls to find out. It's also a great way to get a little taste of what AHG is all about through summer camps. And the troops are putting them on and doing a fantastic job. American Heritage Girls rents camps all over the country, especially Christian camps that are in so need of people to use them. And so rather than owning our own camps and going through all that infrastructure and cost, AHG is stewarding their dollars by using camps that already exist and putting their program in. And it's just been really cool to see us being able to bless the camps that are struggling by using the camps that already exist.
That's great. Well, Patty, anything else coming up that we can look forward to in the 21st year of American Heritage Girls?
Always, you know, we have good new girl leadership positions and how those leadership positions are selected by, for the girls with their spiritual gifts. So girls are going to be discovering what are their spiritual gifts and how does that relate to leadership. We've tied with Growing Leaders, which is an organization that's created by Dr. Tim Elmore, who was a protege of John Maxwell. Many of us know the Maxwell name with good leadership principles, Christ-centered leadership principles. The girls are learning about leadership through photos, an Instagram type of concept, and they're going to be learning about those and their truths, which I'm very excited about. We're also helping a group called iShine bring shock and awe, and it's an apologetics type of show for tweens so that the tweens can learn that their faith is real and that there is science that backs it up. And, you know, we're looking at tweens leading the church even at an early age. George Barna has said, if a child does not understand Christ, who Christ is by the age of 12, the likelihood is slim that they will ever get to know who Christ is. And so this is urgent. You know, the gospel, hey, we have a sense of urgency. And I know the LCMS church feels the same exact way, that we need to reach these kids for Christ younger and younger because they're separating from the church younger and younger. So there is so much excitement going on right now in AHG and through partnerships that we are happy, happy, happy to be able to bring joy into kids' lives, into families being reunited and girls being transformed because they know who they are in Christ.
AHGonline.org is the website, correct?
Yes, or American Heritage Girls, if HG is too hard to remember. We've got it all covered, Andy.
Very good. Patty, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for being our guest today. Patty Garibay, Executive Director for American Heritage Girls. Always great to chat with you.
Thank you, Andy. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Coming up in just a little bit, I had a chance to talk with a local family on their involvement with American Heritage Girls. We'll talk with Cheryl Bates and her daughter, Reagan, about their involvement in a local troop here in the St. Louis area in St. Charles, Missouri. And so we'll hear from them. And I know, ironically, same last name, but no relation. So we'll talk with Cheryl Bates, troop coordinator for a troop here in St. Charles, Missouri, and her daughter, Reagan, in just a little bit. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. The messenger of good news.
University Mequon, Wisconsin overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The most dangerous place for a black baby to be in New York City isn't in a crack house or a violence-torn part of the city. The most dangerous place for a black baby in New York City is in the womb. The Big Apple aborts more black babies than those born alive. About half of all Latino babies conceived in New York are aborted. This matches our research of Planned Parenthood targeting minority neighborhoods for abortion. Nearly 80% of their surgical abortion mills are within walking distance of blacks and Latinos. This is consistent with the philosophy of Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, who called minorities human weeds. If you'd like to see the dramatic visual research, visit lifeissues.org and click on the microphone icon.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
I'm Andy Bates. Joining me by phone today, Cheryl Bates. She's the troop coordinator for American Heritage Girls Missouri Troop 0110 here in St. Charles, Missouri at Zion Lutheran Church in St. Charles. Cheryl, welcome. So glad to have you on with us today.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Cheryl, what prompted you to get involved with American Heritage Girls? Why did your family get involved?
Well, actually, it stemmed from my boys who had been a part of scouting. Mm-hmm. And I wanted something for my daughter, but I wanted something Christ-centered. I wanted life skills. I wanted servant. Just wanted all of it in one package. And when I happened to bond American Heritage Girls and started looking into what they stood for and what they did, it was a match.
What was it about scouting with the boys that you really saw in that scouting that you wanted for your daughter as well? You mentioned in American Heritage Girls, you certainly found that Christ-centered emphasis, but life skills and things like that. What was it about scouting that you found so helpful for your boys?
Well, we love the camping, so we mm-hmm. just enjoy that part of it. we're just a camping family. But I enjoyed watching my kids learn safety in the outdoors, first aid skills. My oldest son learned some first aid skills, and he was babysitting, and his younger son had a serious issue and was bleeding, and he was able to handle it very calmly. And, he ended up riding in the ambulance with my son, and he was calm. I probably would have passed out if I had been home. So, he had learned those mm-hmm. skills by earning his first aid badge, and I wanted that kind of same stuff for my daughter.
What changes? Now, your daughter has been involved with American Heritage Girls for 10 years now. Is that right?
Right, right.
What changes have you seen in over those 10 years in your family or for your daughter as well through your involvement with American Heritage Girls?
She's just grown to be a young woman of Christ. I mean, she loves God, but she loves to serve. We were always a church-going family, and I think we would have had that regardless. Mm-hmm. But the servant heart that she has, she just walks up, hey, can I help you? Or we were at the park with friends. Hey, can I push her on the swing, the little girl? Can I push your sister? Just a servant's heart, always ready to jump in and help. And that's one of the core values of American Heritage Girls is servants. So our whole family serves. We serve at church and DBS. We serve however we can. And that's just been the hugest thing. We serve together. Mm-hmm. We serve on our own. It's ingrained in our systems now.
How has being a part of American Heritage Girl connected you to other families in AHG and maybe your congregation or your community?
Well, my absolute best friends in the whole world are AHG leaders. My daughter's best friends are AHG girls. We have friends outside of that, but the closest relationships that we have are there because we could talk about our faith all the time. And, when we have a problem, that's who we call to, hey, will you pray for me? I'm worried about this. Or, so we have prayer partners all the time, anytime we need it. Mm. Our whole family has developed friendships through the program as well. And we're always serving in the community, not just within our church, but, out in the community, picking up trash or cleaning a trail or, doing a food drive, or whatever kind of service we can do. We like to be out in the community doing it too. So,
what are your responsibilities as troop coordinator, and why did you step up to do that?
I basically am kind of the overseer of our troop, make sure we have leadership, make sure they're trained, make sure all our health and safety policies are abided by, help plan our program for the year. I stepped up because when we moved to our church, the lady who had been doing it had been doing it for 3 years. It was her time to step down, and I had been in the program for 7 years and kind of felt led to be able to go ahead and do it. I am still also leading a squad at the same time. So, I wear a lot of different hats. But I felt this was where God wanted me at that moment. So.
And so how involved are parents? Obviously you're quite involved in American Heritage Girls. How involved are parents, families in American Heritage Girls? Is this something where you just drop off your daughter and have no involvement, or are parents involved in other ways?
We like to have everyone involved. Our parents serve on smaller committees. Like, we have a camping committee, so we have parents involved there. Because we have moms leading, sometimes we have siblings. So we have mm-hmm. a child care coordinator who will help watch the little ones so their moms can run a meeting. We even have dads involved. My husband is a leader. We've got other troops where there's several male leaders. We have two male leaders of our troop. So it's a family affair. We get the whole family involved. Siblings, we're all there. It's all one big, happy family event, usually.
How do you think your daughter will benefit from her involvement in American Heritage Girls in both, you know, in the next few years and then in the long run as well?
Well, I think that she'll develop some leadership skills. So she'll be able to go out there and take charge. Part of our level awards require, and that's when you move from one level to the next, requires them to plan something. I've watched these girls grow. This year, they made the decision they want to do a book drive. And I pretty much said, okay, I'll drive you. They planned it. They promoted it. They made the flyers. We went through the books, made sure they were all, you know, acceptable to be donated. They made all the phone calls. I literally drove them to Children's Hospital to donate 250 books. They did it all. And that's what I want them to all walk away with, is being able to get out in the world and lead, but not just lead with a Christian heart and be ready to serve and help their people in their community and be godly women, godly wives, godly mothers, just living for Jesus. That's what I want all these girls to do, have him first and foremost in their lives.
What, if anything, about American Heritage Girls was unexpected for you? Were there any experiences or any outcomes that were unexpected for you?
A lot of it. I really expected to get into a Christ-centered badge-earning program. That's just kind of what I had in my head. That is not what we have found. You know, like I said, it's not just on that. It's been the friendships, the life skills. You know, they have conventions regularly for leadership. I have made friends from across the country that, you know, just meeting them at conventions, and we've become really good friends. My daughter's had the opportunity to go to these conventions. And the most recent, completely unexpected thing was when American Heritage Girls was able to help with the formation of the new program for boys called Trail Life USA. And I got to watch that unfold and start a troop, you know. And so it's just watching how we were able to take the knowledge that they had built on. They've been around for 20 years, take that knowledge and fold it in and help these men start a program to do the same thing for boys. So I had no idea what I was getting into, how awesome this program is.
So you were expecting a Christian patch-earning program for your daughter, and not only did she gain a lot of friends, but it sounds like you did as well, and a lot of support for you in your vocation as a mother and raising your daughter to be a Christian woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I have grown in my faith, I think, as much as she has, if not more. So it's been fantastic.
Well, Cheryl, thank you for your time today. Cheryl Bates, Troop Coordinator, American Heritage Girls, Missouri Troop 0110. Thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you very much.
Joining me by phone today, Regan Bates. She's with American Heritage Girls, a troop here in St. Charles, Missouri. Regan, welcome to Faith and Family.
Hi.
Tell us, Regan, tell us about your involvement. When did you first become involved with American Heritage Girls?
I was 4 years old, and I was in kindergarten.
Kindergarten? Wow. So that was pretty young. What was your first impression of American Heritage Girls when you started at 4 years old? What were you looking forward to, or were you reluctant about it? Were you kind of shy?
I was actually really excited, and they had tents inside, and we camped inside, and I was just really, really excited about that. And I went home, and I was like, and I told my brothers, I was so happy that we got to camp inside, and that was just really fun.
So it was a camping experience. Tell us about the friends that you've gained through your involvement with American Heritage Girls.
I met some of the best friends ever through AHG and through convention and stuff. I've met friends from across the country, and that's really cool.
Well, that's great. Friends from all across the country. Do you still keep in touch with those friends around the country?
Yes.
That's great. What are some of the things that that you've learned from American Heritage Girls, some of the valuable skills that, you've gained that you think you'll keep with you for life?
I've learned a lot of outdoor skills. Like, I can go camping and I can make food out there. And I've learned how to study the Bible. And I've learned about modesty and how to serve people. And yeah.
What would you say? You said camping is certainly one of the skills, and outdoor cooking. What's your favorite thing to cook when camping?
I like making, it's called shipwrecked. It's like you have eggs, bacon, and peppers, and cheese, and hash browns, and just a lot of breakfast items, and you just put them all together, and that's just really fun to make, and it's really good.
What level have you reached? I know there are various levels in American Heritage Girl. Tell us about what level you've reached and what's significant about that.
I'm a patriot, and that is the oldest level, and that's when all the girls look up to you, and you get to start planning more things, and it's just really fun.
How did you get to the patriot level? What are some of the things you had to accomplish in order to reach that level?
You have to get a certain amount of, there are different frontiers of badges, and you have to get a badge from each frontier mm-hmm. before you can move up, and then you have to go through a board of review, and you get a level award, and yeah.
So you completed all those, and now you've reached the Patriot level, which is the highest level. What do you think your experience in American Heritage Girl will do to help you in the future? All that you've experienced in what your, has it been 10 years now, I believe? Is that right?
Yeah.
10 years in American Heritage Girls and all that experience over the 10 years, how will that help you in the future, do you think?
It will help me to be able to serve more when I'm older and be more open to that. And, it'll help me if I ever need to, if I ever need to study the Bible or like refer to the Bible, and yeah.
What about that young girl who is thinking about joining American Heritage Girls? The family is thinking about getting her involved in American Heritage Girls, but perhaps she's afraid, she won't know anyone in the troop, maybe a little shy about it. What might you say to her?
Well, I'll tell her that making friends in American Heritage Girls is not hard. It's one of the easiest things, and everyone is really open to having more friends, and it's just really fun to meet new girls and learn about them.
Regan, thanks so much for being my guest today. I appreciate your time and for sharing your story with us. Anything else about American Heritage Girls that you want our listeners to know as we wrap up our conversation today?
Nope.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being our guest, Regan. I appreciate your time and congratulations on making it to Patriot.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Grace Kane, a junior at Lutheran High School South in St. Louis. Every day, I can grow in my faith with Christian faculty and other young believers. Together, we grow in the challenging academic environment at Lutheran South. Thanks to my school, I'm ready to not just go to college, but excel in college and throughout the rest of my life. Have you checked out Lutheran schools lately? Learn more at lhssstl.org. That's lhssstl.org.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO. KFUO.
KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listening to worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth or sync up to listen in your car while driving anywhere. There are many easy ways to listen to worldwidekfuo.org. On the air, online, and on demand, the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
If you have a question about the LCMS, contact the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Church Information Center, and you'll be connected with a real person who can help you find the answer. Call 1-888-THE-LCMS or 1-888-843-5267 or email them infocenter@lcms.org. Helping you with your questions and finding you resources, the LCMS Church Information Center.
Hi, I'm Andy Bates, host of Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, and I'd like to let you know about a new free resource to assist you and your family as you join together in prayer. Visit lcms.org/unwrappingthegifts to find litanies, table graces, and more to support you in your times of prayer as a family. That's lcms.org/unwrappingthegifts.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. I hope you've enjoyed the conversations with our friends from American Heritage Girls. I always enjoy talking with them, learning about the great opportunities they offer for girls and for their families as well. Speaking of opportunities, it is almost time for Share-a-thon. Joining me in studio today, Mary Schmidt. She's our donor care coordinator here at Worldwide KFUO. Mary, welcome.
Good morning, Andy.
Good morning. It is morning, isn't it? See, by this point in time, I feel like it's already like 2 p.m, but it's not even, it's still morning. Share-a-thon. Speaking of timing, Share-a-thon is coming up very soon. About a month away. Exactly.
A month away. Mm-hmm. April. April 23rd through 25th, which is a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And it's coming up in about a month.
The 21st through the 23rd, isn't it? April 21st through the 23rd.
Oh my goodness, I'm thinking of last year. Last year was the 23rd.
Oh, I was going to say.
It is the 21st.
21st, 22nd, 23rd. I thought maybe you were planning for next year already. I was going to give you credit for being that far ahead. Yeah, the 21st through the 23rd.
Clearly, I have not had my coffee this morning.
Well, see, I just knew that because I pulled it up on the calendar in front of me. So April 21st through the 23rd, Share-a-thon. What is Share-a-thon, Mary?
Share-a-thon is our annual fundraiser. This is a great opportunity for people to join with KFUO as we spread the gospel throughout the world. And this is a great time to give and support if you like the programs that are on KFUO, or if you like what KFUO is doing by getting into other countries and sharing the word of God to people who normally won't be able to have other means of hearing it, but they can through KFUO. This is a great time and opportunity to help support that mission and this ministry to spread the gospel.
Share-a-thon. So let's take a look at share. Well, we share in the ministry that God has given us, and our listeners who become partners with us by sharing the gifts that God has given them. And a-thon. Well, like a marathon. it's a 3-day marathon, 3-day run. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, April 21st, 22nd, 23rd, we spend quality time together here in the studio. The staff spends those 3 days together, like just one big happy family, with snacks and stuff in the studio. But that's not really the highlight of Share-a-thon. We get to spend that time with guests as well, on the air who are regular friends of KFUO.
We do. We get to hear from a lot of fun people that come back, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of our regular guests, and we have a lot of special guests that talk about how KFUO has helped them in their ministries as well. So not just through KFUO and the radio, but also through different ministries where KFUO can get the word out about them and how they can help other people. So this is a great opportunity, not just for KFUO, but also for other Lutheran ministries. And on top of that, it's not just the guests that we get to hear from. We get to hear from listeners and our supporters, which we love. We love hearing about them and talking to them and getting to know them. They are really wonderful people, and we are very thankful for them.
So that's when the phones are ringing, listeners are calling in and sharing with us their stories of how KFUO has been a significant part of their life. And many times that's a story of how I know many of the stories you've shared with me are, I grew up listening to KFUO. My parents, my grandparents always had KFUO on the radio in the kitchen or in the living room or wherever. And I just, you know, and they always share stories of how they enjoyed listening. And now they are privileged to be an adult who listens to KFUO and to share that. They want to share that with others. And so partner with us. One of the ways that listeners can partner with us by sharing a gift as they're able. But one of those is day sponsorship. And so we really get to talk about that quite a bit during Share-a-thon. What is a day sponsor program?
Well, a day sponsorship is at a special level of $480, you can become a day sponsor. And each day sponsor gets to choose a special day of their choosing in the year. And it's a great opportunity to say thank you to someone, to celebrate an anniversary or a birthday. We've had people celebrate their baptism. Mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity to remember someone. We've had day sponsorships in loving memory of grandparents or in celebration of children, grandchildren, or even great-grandchildren. We've had quite a few. I mean, they're very interesting. And each one of these day sponsorships usually has a story behind them, which is so wonderful to hear how they talk about how KFUO kind of impacted them, and this is a great opportunity for them to not only support the station, but to say thank you to someone special while supporting the ministry and spreading the gospel. It is a really nice opportunity, and a lot of people do like it, so I encourage people to consider becoming a day sponsor this year, either renewing your day sponsorship during Share-a-thon or becoming a new one, or...
And that's something my wife always does for us because I'm always so busy during Share-a-thon. My wife calls in for us to renew our day sponsorship. And each year we choose a different occasion. Instead of choosing the same date each year, we choose a different occasion. One year it was our son's baptismal birthday. One year it was my father-in-law and our niece's birthday. And I don't know what it'll be this year. So curious what my wife is cooking up, what special day she's planning on commemorating this year. And I'm always grateful that that she values KFUO and our family values KFUO as well. And lots of others who call in to say thanks and do that as a day sponsor. One of the neat things about the day sponsorship is that you can you know, make a gift one time for the whole year, or you can do that in monthly increments as well, right?
That's true. You can. We have an installment program of 12 months for $40 each month.
So installment, that's the word I was looking for.
So it's a little bit easier on your checkbook, but at the same time, you're still supporting the station. You're still helping get that word out about Jesus. It's a nice opportunity.
Makes a great gift, too.
It does. It's very fun to hear the message go out over the air, and I get to listen to them all the time whenever they go out. So
absolutely. Neat guests lined up. I don't know, can I give away some of the names that of our guests?
That
are going to be on regular voices that you hear on KFUO. Pastor Worth from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, he'll be here, and Pastor Larry Troxel from St. Paul in Bowen, Illinois, he'll be here. A number of others, Pastor Tom Baker and his regular guest, Dr. Mark Smith from Prince of Peace, he'll be here as well for one of the days of Share-a-thon. Pastor Matt Clark, Pastor Lukomsky, and Pastor Henriksen, Mark Hawkinson, all regular voices, and some special guests as well. The Reverend Marcus Zill, who's host of Student Union, he'll be on. Pastor Whedon, he'll be on. Pastor Salamink and Heather Salamink from Lutherans for Life, they'll be here as well. Mm-hmm. Mary, thanks so much for coming over to talk about Share-a-thon coming up April 21st,
22nd, and 23rd.
Very good. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.